This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies. This program is for people who want some help following English news bulletins. We focus on some of the language and topics that often appear in the news, as we join Gary Stevens for this program, first broadcast in 2003.
I've chosen one of the hottest days of the year to take a short stroll from our BBC studios to nearby Covent Garden. And I'm visiting Hakeem Carton, who's manager of Global Telecall. Now, this part of London's always popular with local office workers and with tourists. And whether you're in central London or Hong Kong, that's where I first visited an internet cafe, telephone and internet centres like this one are always busy. They're a powerful symbol of a revolution that's taking place in the world of technology. Hakeem, first perhaps you could tell me, what facilities do you have here at Global Telecall?
Oh, we have computers with a hard drive, we have scanners, we have international phone calls, we can print, we have a copy machine, you can copy anything you want. At the same time, this is the internet cafe, you can explore the website.
So who comes to this centre? What sort of people come here and what do they do?
Well, being in the city, we have different kind of visitors. In the morning, in the early shift, we have the local people. They come around, they do their own work, the pubs or the hotels. They do the accounting, they do printing. And in the afternoon, we have the tourists. They would like to come and see the theatres. At the same time, they like to keep contact with their families abroad.
I see on the wall you've got lots of different clocks telling the time in Paris and Tokyo and New York. Yes. So there are tourists from all over the world.
Yes.
When you say they like to communicate with their family, how do they do that?
Through the internet and MSN Messenger. They talk to them. If it's very urgent, they can use the phone. They call them up and they keep in touch.
Hakeem, thank you very much. In this series, we're considering the major themes that appear in BBC World Service news programmes. Today's big story is the information society. We'll focus on some of the issues and, of course, the language behind the topic. Information and communications technology, the information society, the digital divide, these terms have become buzzwords in the modern world. But what do they all mean? Alf Hermida is technology editor for BBC News Online, and I asked him for some definitions, starting with the information society itself.
This is a way of looking how society has changed. If we look back to 100 years ago, we were talking about the Industrial Revolution, countries becoming economic powers, developing their businesses through the use of machines. Now the emphasis has shifted to information, and technology is a tool by which people can gain that information, be it through computers on the internet or maybe over a mobile phone. And that's what we're talking about here, using technology as a tool to get access to information, to find out what's happening in the world.
And why is this such an important area? Why does it feature in the list of World Service big stories, do you think?
In industrialised countries, we have well-stocked libraries, we have computers in most offices, we have access to the internet. So a lot of the information we need to do business, to better ourselves through improving our careers, is readily available. In developing countries, that's much more of a problem. Say you are a farmer in Senegal and you want to find out what the price is for the mangoes or the pineapples that you're growing. When you come to sell them to the trader, you don't know what the price of that pineapple is in the capital. You have to take at face value what you're offered for it. But say you had a mobile phone, and that on that mobile phone you could find out what the price of pineapples was in the capital. that would put you in a much stronger position when it came to selling your goods, and you would get a much better price for your crops. That would make a very big difference to how much money you earned every month.
Let's say we're talking about telephones then and computers, as you've suggested. What do we mean when we say that there's a digital divide?
This all comes down to having access to information, being able to find information about crop prices, about the latest research, even news about what's happening in your country or in your part of the world easily. In industrialized countries, it's all around us. Apart from newspapers and radio stations, we now have the internet, or you can even get this sort of information on your mobile phone. The problem for developing countries is that they don't have access to that information. If we look at, say, school pupils, in industrialized countries, you could have a wealth of information at your fingertips using the internet, and most schools will have computers and have access to the web. If you're living in Bangladesh, your school might not have any computers, might not have access to the internet, and that puts you at a big disadvantage when it comes to your education, to when it comes to your future prospects and your chances of getting a good career and a good job.
Success in the modern world depends on having access to up-to-date information, whether for business, farming, education, healthcare, for every aspect of life. And in this so-called information society, there's a digital divide between the haves and the have-nots, those who are able to access information and those who aren't. But as Alf Hermida explains, the ability to access information depends on more than just having the right technological equipment.
There are several big problems when it comes to internet access. One of the big ones is that a lot of the material on the internet is in English, and that instantly puts a barrier up to a lot of people in the world because they have to speak at least some English to understand the information there. The other thing is just the connection. To connect to the internet, you need to connect either through cables or you could do it through radio waves. But in many parts of the developing world, what you have is a very slow connection over a telephone line. Telephone lines in a lot of these parts of the world are quite unreliable, they're a bit crackly, they might have some interference on the line. So what you then have is an internet connection that not only is slow, but could break at any moment. That is a huge problem for developing countries.
We've talked a little bit about the internet then and the difference that that can make to people's lives. What about the phone and particularly the mobile phone?
This is almost more revolutionary than the internet itself, because what you're finding now is that in countries like Nigeria, just about everybody will have a mobile phone. In the past, they would have had to rely on trying to get a normal landline, something connected with wires to the local exchange. And the problem is there wouldn't be many of these telephones, they would be expensive. But now, mobile phones are opening the world of communication to just about everybody. So selling goods is much easier, sharing ideas is much more possible now than in the past, or even just giving advice to colleagues or friends.
As a journalist working for the BBC, do you find that there are any language issues that you have to bear in mind when you're preparing reports about this subject?
One of the big temptations with technology is always to lapse into jargon, because what you find when you talk to people who work in this area, researchers who have come up with new and interesting ideas, is they use jargon all the time. It's a shorthand way of describing what they're doing. And your role as a journalist is almost to translate that, to translate their technical jargon into words that you and I will understand, so that when you read a story, when you listen to a story, it makes sense to you. And not only does it make sense, but you can see why it matters, why it's important, and why it could make a difference to your way of life.
Slowly but surely, the new information and communication technologies are reaching even the remotest corners of the globe. A BBC radio series called E-Villages visited a group of imaginative projects that are bringing the internet to rural communities in the Indian subcontinent. In one programme, Mukti Jain Campion travelled to a community radio station in Sri Lanka.
Kotmale FM is a community radio station perched on a hillside in the central highlands of Sri Lanka. Today in the studio, three presenters are seated in front of the microphone. Beside them is a computer connected to the internet, which they refer to throughout their program.
This is a one-hour magazine program. There are presenters in the studio. They surf websites and they try to respond to day-to-day questions of the listeners using the information which they have downloaded from the internet.
The program takes its pick of the world's headlines from a range of websites, such as the BBC and CNN.
George W. Bush, Tony Blair.
Later, they might deal with a housewife's worries about nutrition or answer a schoolchild's questions about pyramids. This is what they call radio browsing, bringing the riches of the World Wide Web to their community audience. The station broadcasts to an estimated 350,000 people in a rural area of tea plantations and paddy fields. As with all of Sri Lanka, the literacy levels in this region are high, close to 90%, but computer ownership is rare. It's just too expensive, power supplies are too unreliable, and the phone bills for internet use just too prohibitive. Kotmale's community radio station was chosen by UNESCO as a testbed for a new project, giving rural Sri Lankans a chance to join the information superhighway.
When this idea was brought to us, we knew about new technology as a concept, but we have never had a hands on it. In fact, as we say, we did not know the difference between the internet and the mosquito net.
UNESCO's approach came at a time when there was much soul-searching amongst Sri Lankans about how to address the social unrest in their country and the growing digital divide.
For Sri Lankans, it was not an academic thing. It was a real pressing problem. And the main reason behind this is we have a very educated population, but there's lack of opportunity. And this digital advantage which some people get, for instance, the people in the urban areas, these people have the facility of using email and using computers, especially the kids, whereas the people who live in the rural communities sometimes do not even get their textbooks until 6 months of the year. But in 10 years' time or in 5 years' time, all these kids will be standing in the same queue for employment.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.